Well, morning, folks, and welcome to the auditorium or the gallery upstairs here at Church in the Marketplace. And if you're listening in online, then it's great to have you with us, and we pray that God will bless you as you share with us today. Have you ever got a Christmas gift that you were disappointed in? You know, you were expecting underwear and socks, and instead you got tickets to a fabulous show. No, sorry, I'm kidding. But you know what I mean. So this morning we're going to look at a gift that will never disappoint us. It's personal, it's practical, it's useful, it won't break. It can change your life, it will last forever. It's the most expensive gift you'll ever receive. It's God's Christmas gift to you. In his letter, John says, "The Son of God came so we could recognize and understand the truth of God." What a gift. What a gift. Jesus is both true God and real life, he says. Of course, no gift is a gift unless the receiver opens it. And we're going to look at four benefits of opening God's Christmas gift to us, four things that happen in our lives. Of course, our starting point is more than 2,000 years ago when God invaded earth. God sent Jesus, his son, to earth. It's why billions of people around the world will celebrate Christmas in a few days' time. And when Jesus was born, angels said, "You are to call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God said, "I'm sending my presence to earth." John says, "My purpose in coming to earth is to give you life, life in all its fullness." God's presence is the first present. So as we prepare to open God's gift, his presence in our lives a little more this morning, let's take a moment and pray. Our Lord, what an awesome gift, your presence in our lives. And Lord, we confess, we can get so caught up in the stuff of Christmas that somehow that just slides by, or we can think we've been a person of faith for so many years and still the awesomeness of what Christmas is really all about can somehow just slip past us. So Lord, we pray that this morning and over the next week or so, your Holy Spirit will just embed in us the knowledge of and the certainty of your presence in our lives, and we will remember and we will see some of the things that means for the way we live our lives each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we accept Jesus into our lives, four things happen immediately. Here's the first of them. Here's the first gift. We lose our loneliness. Now, God is going to be with us all the time. Loneliness, I think, is one of the great problems. Everybody eventually has to deal with loneliness. Some of you in the last year lost a loved one. You're not feeling too joyful this Christmas. There's a sadness in your heart. Somebody who was here last Christmas isn't here now. And I'm sorry about that. Jan and I have lost three parents and a sister over the past few years, and each Christmas has been different. Even though I'm married and Jan and I have kids and grandkids, there's still a sense that we're lonely after their deaths. John and Charlie and Peggy and Julie will not share Christmas with us again. Maybe that's happened to you. Or maybe you're lonely at Christmas because family is distant. You're not with your family. We're going to Canada because our son and our grandson are there, but we'll leave some other of our family behind at Christmas. Or maybe you're lonely because you went through a relationship separation of some kind and your heart has been pulled apart by a hurtful experience. Or maybe somebody walked out of your life and you feel deserted. If you're feeling lonely, you're feeling abandoned, you're feeling forsaken this time of year, let me say this to you. God is with you. God is with you. And perhaps we just need to tune in because he's never not been with us. We just need to tune into him. Jesus came to earth to give us his presence. He said, I'm coming to earth and then I'm going to leave my spirit in you. That takes away our loneliness. In fact, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Other people may walk out of our lives, a boyfriend, a parent, a husband, a wife, somebody we were really close to, people who we thought were friends may walk out of our lives, but God says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. So when we accept God's presence into our lives, that's the first of God's Christmas gifts to us, and it does three things. It helps us out, it calms us down, and it cheers us up. First, depending on what circumstances we're in, God's presence helps us out. In fact, the Bible says this, don't worry because I'm with you. Don't be afraid because I'm your God. I will make you strong. I will help you. I will support you. See, none of us knows what's going to happen in 2018. We don't know what we're going to go through. But we do know this, there is nothing. You and I will have to go through that we'll have to go through alone if we'll tune into the presence of God and receive God in our lives. When God is near, we in some sense lose our fear. One of the things that happens when we're feeling lonely is that night times become very hard. Hard to get to sleep when we're alone. Our mind races, our fears exaggerate, we can't shut down, and all sorts of things tend to crowd into our minds. That's when God says, I not only help you out, but I'll calm you down. The Bible says, I will lie down in peace and sleep. For though I am alone, O Lord, you will keep me safe. So we may be alone in life, but we don't have to be lonely. And there's a difference. Being alone is sometimes unavoidable. We're going to spend a significant part of our lives alone. It's just a fact of being a human being. People are going to leave. People will die. People grow up and leave, things like that. But loneliness is a choice. We don't have to be lonely. What do? We talk with God. He's with us. He'll be in us. If we invite him into our lives, we listen to him, we talk, we listen and we converse with God, and he says, I will help you. I'll help you out, I'll calm you down. He also says, I'll cheer you up. Maybe you're feeling a little low this Christmas, maybe you're feeling a little down, a little discouraged, maybe even depressed. The Bible says, your presence fills me with joy. God's presence is the first present in our lives. There's no need for us to ever spend a day alone anymore. Here's the second gift that comes wrapped up in Jesus. We get a second chance. Let me do a little survey. How many of you, knowing what you know now, if you had an opportunity to do it all over again, how many of you would do your life, or at least some of it, a little differently? Most of us, I'd reckon. Nobody, except maybe if you're the Australian captain, bats a century every innings. None of us. I don't measure up to my own standards, much less God's standards. Everybody's blown it. We've all made mistakes. We've all got faults and failures. We've all sinned. We've all done things we knew we wanted to do instead of what God wanted us to do. There are things we would do differently if we could. And the good news is that God loves to give us a second chance. Now, here's a truth. I am a terrible golfer. I really am. I'm pretty pathetic. But there's a word in golf that I love, and it's the word mulligan. And for those of you who don't know about golf, a mulligan means if you make a bad shot, you get a second chance and they don't count the first one against your score. That's a good deal. Maybe that's just social golf. I don't know. Now, what if we had mulligans in every area of our lives? What if we had financial mulligans, health mulligans? You know where we need mulligans the most? In relationships. There are things we've said that we wish we hadn't said. There are things we've done that we wish we hadn't done. There are commitments we've made that we wish we could undo. We need a mulligan. We need a makeover. And God loves to give second chances. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us a second chance. That's the second part of God's gift to us. The Bible says right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, all come from God by way of Jesus Christ. Think about a clean slate. That's like if God took everything we've ever done wrong and wrote it on a whiteboard somewhere, all the bad things, the mistakes, the unkindnesses, the selfishness, all the things we've done in life that we knew weren't right, and God says, oh, look, I've written them all down here, here's the list, but now we're just going to erase them. The Bible says it like this, that when God gives us a clean slate, he takes our sin and he puts them in the deepest part of the ocean, metaphorically speaking. And then he puts up a no fishing sign. In other words, he says, I don't want you dragging them back out again. Once I've forgiven you, you need to learn to forgive yourself. Friends, Jesus came so that we don't have to sit out time in the sin bin. The Bible says God forgives all your failures and sins. He did this by erasing the charges that were brought against us by the laws that God established. He took those away by nailing them to the cross. You see, when we break human laws, we have to pay a human penalty. If I break the speed limit, I pay a fine. When we break God's laws, we have to pay God's penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But somebody's already paid our penalty. Jesus died for us. He died on the cross so we don't have to hang ourselves on a cross. Jesus says, I've already paid for every sin you'll ever commit, including the ones we haven't committed yet. Not Paul would say that I suggest that you go and just commit sins because they're going to be forgiven. The sins that we don't even know about tomorrow, next week, next year. Folks, that is incredibly good news. And it's a free gift. Jesus paid for it with his life. God wants to give us a mulligan. He wants to give us a makeover. He wants to give us a clean slate, not turn over a new leaf, but give us a totally new life. The Bible says anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The past is forgotten and everything becomes new. It's why Christmas is so important. This is why billions of people are going to celebrate Christmas, because first we get God's presence. He says, you'll never be alone anymore. I'll cheer you up. I'll help you out. I'll calm you down. And then he says, I'm going to give you the gift of my pardon. You get a fresh start. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says it like this. God makes you alive with Christ when he forgives all your failures and sins. He did this by erasing the charges that were brought against us by the laws God established. He took those charges away by nailing them to the cross. That's what Christmas is all about. There's a third benefit that happens when we accept God's Christmas gift to us. We find out who we really are. First, we get God's presence. That means we lose our loneliness. Then we get God's pardon. That means we get a second chance. Then we get God's purpose for our lives, which means we find out who we really are. So many people go through life without any direction. It's kind of like they're just drifting in life. They go from job to job and relationship to relationship, not really knowing where they're headed or what's next or what they're doing. They're just drifting in life. Often the reason why is we look for our identity in all the wrong places. We try to find our identity in cars and in clothes and status symbols and sex and salary and success, and none of those define our lives. If we let them define our lives, we're letting ourselves be defined by externals rather than who God made us to be. The Bible says it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we heard of Christ, he had his eye on us and designed us for glorious living. Did you know you were designed by God for glorious living? Glorious. God says, I custom made you to be you. God made you because he has a purpose for your life. But here's the problem. Instead of being designed by God, we let ourselves get redesigned by other people. And pretty soon we start listening to the opinions and the expectations of others. What will other people think? We let other people shape our lives, our parents, our partners, our peers, our professionals, our friends, the kids in the school ground. And all of a sudden we're letting culture determine us. We started off as an original, but we end up as a clone. We end up as a carbon copy of somebody else. All of a sudden we're pressured into being something that God never meant for us to be, and that's dumb. It's just dumb. And we wonder why we're stressed out, and we wonder why we're not fulfilled, and we wonder why we're not satisfied in life. And it's because we're trying to be somebody that other people want us to be instead of being who God designed us to be. It's only in Jesus we find out who we are and what we're living for. Remember, Jesus said, "My purpose in coming to earth is to give you life, life in all its fullness." Why did he say that? Notice he didn't say, "My purpose is to come and give you religion." Jesus didn't come to give religion. He didn't say, "My purpose is to give you rituals and rules and regulations." He said, "My purpose is to give you life." Life. Why? Because most people aren't really living. They're just existing. They get up in the morning, they go to work, they come home, they watch television, they go to bed. I heard something on the radio yesterday said from the beginning of 1900 or a long time, the average life expectancy of people in countries like us, first world countries, has increased by 20 years. Of those 20 years, we spend 13 of them watching television. You might like to think about that. Of 20 extra years of life that typically we live from 1900, whenever it was, we spend 13 of those years watching television. See, and we do it the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Maybe we go to a party or something to catch up on the weekend, but that's not living, that's existing. Here in Aussie land, we talk so much about the good life, and we do. We have a great life. What does the good life mean? And if the good life is so good, why don't we feel more satisfied? Why don't we feel happier? Why don't we feel more fulfilled? I'll tell you why. Because the good life is not good enough. We were made for more than the good life. We were made for the better life. The better life is the life of purpose that God made us for. I've come to give you life in all its fullness. So we move out of just existing into really living. What we need isn't more money, we need more meaning. What we need isn't more possessions, we need more purpose. What we need isn't more success, we need more significance. We need to feel like our life matters, and we can be extremely wealthy and not feel like our life matters because we don't know our purpose. The Bible says the Lord made everything for his own purposes. God has never made anything without a purpose. Whatever he makes has purpose. And if we're alive, it means he has a purpose for our lives. If we're breathing, it means he has a purpose for us. How are we going to find God's purpose for our lives? By talking to God. We're not going to get it from the 6 o'clock news. We're not going to get it by reading Sports Illustrated. We're not going to get it from a friend. We only know our purpose by talking to the one who created us. I didn't make you, so I can't tell you what your purpose is. You have to go to the original source. You have to read the owner's manual, the Bible, and you have to talk to the Creator and the one who made you, God. Who can have that kind of purpose? Anybody can. The Bible says in this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he is equally available to all. Equally available to all. Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity Savior. He's for everybody. It's amazing grace for every race. So I'm glad that when I get into heaven, God doesn't look at what language I speak or what color my skin is or how much money I've made in life. No, he says, I'm here to be the savior of the world for everybody, every place, regardless of your ethnic status, regardless of your economic status. It doesn't even matter what religion you have been. You may be Baptist, Buddhist, Muslim, Mormon, Jewish, Christian, Protestant, Presbyterian, Catholic, Orthodox, no religion at all. Jesus still died for you. He died for everybody. He said, I'm not here to talk about religion. I'm here to talk about relationship. A relationship that we have with God where he gives us his presence and we lose our loneliness. He gives us his pardon and he forgives us and we get a second chance. And where he gives us our purpose in life and where we find out what we're really here for. That's the kind of life God wants to give us. The Bible says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. And we have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Notice this new life has three parts to it. He says we get a new life, we get a meaningful life, and we get eternal life. That's our past, our present, and our future. A new life, a meaningful life, and an eternal life. We get our past forgiven, we get a purpose for living, we get a home in heaven. That's the only deal we can ever get from Jesus. And nobody else can offer it to us. How do we unwrap this Christmas gift God has for us? His pardon, his peace, his purpose, his presence for our lives. We just say yes. We say, yes, God, I receive it. I don't deserve it, but I'm going to put my trust in you and in your son, Jesus, and I want to receive your Christmas gift. We just say yes. The Bible says, give yourself completely to God. Every part of you to be used for his good purposes. We say yes to God. Give ourselves to God. There's a fourth gift. God says, I want to give you. He says, I want you to lose your loneliness. I give you myself, my presence. I want to give you a second chance. I want you to discover who you really are. And the fourth thing we receive strength to keep going. We not only receive God's presence, his pardon, his purpose, we get his power and his strength to go on. See, everybody's having a tough time. Life is tough. I mean, we hear about energy shortages, and so often there's an energy shortage in our lives. When we get to the end of the day, we just flop down and we say, I don't know if I can keep going. And sometimes it's because we're doing life on our own power. God never meant for us to live our lives in our own strength. He says, I want you to plug into my power. I want to give you that strength so you're not fatigued all the time. Let's take one little last test this morning. Finish the sentence. I'm at the end of my rope, yep. I'm about to become undone, unglued, unstuck. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm all stressed out. You qualify. We need strength in our lives. We need power in our lives. Where do we turn for strength? To television? To a pill? To a drug? To a drink? To a relationship? None of those things is going to solve our problem. God says, I want you to turn to me for strength. In fact, the Bible says, find your source of strength in the grace of Christ Jesus. God says, I'm going to put my strength inside of you. If you were to lose everything in your life tomorrow, all your family, all your home, all your possessions, what would matter most in your life? If we're going to have a source of strength, we must have a source of strength that can't be taken from us. What's that source of strength? It's God. He says, I will help you. He says, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. God says, I will be with you. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why the first Christmas was a holy night. A lot of people go from Christmas to Christmas to Christmas, never having unwrapped God's Christmas gift to them. Christmas really doesn't mean anything unless we unwrap the gift. What is it? The gift of his presence and we lose our loneliness. The gift of his pardon and we get a second chance. The gift of his purpose for our lives and we figure out finally who we're meant to be. And the gift of his power and he gives us the strength to keep going. How do we receive the gift? How do we get that gift? by simply receiving it. Let's do that as we pray. God, it's true, I don't understand it all. I've got a lot of questions, but as much as I know now, I want to receive your Christmas gift to me. I want to receive your Son, Jesus. And I ask you to put your presence in my life and take away my loneliness. And I ask you to give me your pardon and forgive me all the things that I've done wrong in my life. I need your forgiveness, and I ask you to give me that second chance. Lord, today I want to know who you made me to be. I don't want to be what other people want me to be. I want to be who you created me to be. Help me to discover your purpose. I want to start following your purpose for my life, not somebody else's. And Jesus, I need your strength in my life to start over and to keep going. So as much as I can say in my heart, I'm saying yes to you this Christmas. And I'm accepting your Christmas gift to me. And I ask you to accept me, or continue to accept me in your family. I pray this in your name. Amen.